Hey, hey, it's the Pretty Corrupt Podcast, your inside guide to celebrity scandals and the reality of reality TV. I'm Jordan Ostermeyer, the man behind Twitter's notorious Don Gumbelson and Lee Radswell, along with my co-hosts Stacey Noel Connor and Nate Safer. Welcome to the Bravo Breakdown. Let's head over to Beverly Hills.
Woo! The only hills that ever matter.
I know, it's the only show. It consumes my life. Podcast, social media, personal, party. No, it's all, it's my favorite. It's my favorite.
Mine too. It's all I think about.
It's the only Bravo,
the only Bravo show I've ever, well, besides Top Chef, the only one I ever watched. Yeah.
I think you could actually put a montage, just a clip. It would be like a whole episode. Fill a whole episode of PCP episodes throughout the years where I'm basically saying like Beverly Hills is the only one that matters to me. Or to Andy Cohen calls it the crown jewel of Bravo. So
I feel like maybe
did you guys watch this?
Maybe I should start doing side episodes where I just talk about the other Bravo shows, just briefly breaking them down, minus the two of you, because you two are useless when it comes to the rest of them. But I watch all the rest.
Honestly, it'd be way funnier if I did the side podcast talking about the other ones.
Actually, yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. You do the side podcast where you talk about all of them. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did I watch it? Please, Jordan. Of course I watched it. My girl's anniversary party? Come on.
I actually have to say, I kind of lived this episode a little bit. I was watching this week.
It was a good one.
Yeah. And I was like watching this. It's the Sutton's party and Kim's there, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. I was like thinking back as watching. I was like, oh, wait. I actually had to run something over to her house. Well, she was getting ready to like leave for this party and I didn't put it together to watching this week. I was like, oh wait, I was with her like 2 hours before.
So. I found it funny that Kyle kept talking about how basically Kim was the reason that they were late. And I was like, well, that sounds on brand from what Jordan has told us about Kim's getting ready habits. So I was like, sure. Yeah, it takes her a while.
That episode, yeah. I mean, this one was good. I liked it. I mean, in this Sutton's anniversary party, what is it? The fourth anniversary?
Well, everybody knows the fourth anniversary is the biggest one. You don't celebrate like the fifth. You go big for the fourth, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I was trying to do the math. Did Sutton launch the store in conjunction with joining the show?
Yes.
Was it one of those?
I believe so. I think so.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I was trying to think how many seasons she's been on. Mm-hmm. But she did it with her own money. Her marital
money. That was one of the best parts of the whole show. I'm doing it on my own without anybody's money. And then there's the voice off camera. But you're using your spousal support? She said, of course I am. So she like, and she owned it, you know.
Yeah.
She had some great, great quotes in this episode. When the planning for the party, when I think it was Avi or maybe her store manager asked her if she wanted food. And her response is, no food, because everybody here is on Activia anyway. She couldn't remember a Zembex, so she called it Activia. You know, same thing. The yogurt that regulates your bowels and Ozembic, same thing. Oh, and then she called it Olympic. She's like, yep. Activia? Olympic? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have two things about... One, I think the Activia was a jab, perhaps, because Kyle always brings on Jamie Lee Curtis, who's the spokesperson for that. And then the second one is, I think her inability to say Ozempic or recall the name was a little bit of a...
Oh, it's such a jab. It's a jab at Erica. It's a jab at Erica and kind of at Kyle. It may be what she thinks Kyle is doing. Although we've now said that we don't think that Kyle is doing that, actually. But definitely Erica, in our alleged opinion, is on the Olympic.
Yeah. She was playing dumb with that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But and which is funny, though, because definitely Sutton doesn't need Ozempic because her small esophagus keeps her from needing it, basically. You know, that's food restriction right there.
I am so over Anne Marie.
Yeah,
I
already
just can't even begin. Honestly, when she, well, okay, just where to even start? But
I've got a list already. So yeah,
yeah. No, I don't. I literally the one that was pissing me off is that when she was giving Sutton the unasked for, frankly, medical advice that didn't seem particularly knowledgeable.
No.
Like she is a medical professional that is, so far as we know.
Yeah, that seems to come in question later special, on.
Yeah, because she does. I mean, she didn't seem to know. I know what an esophageal stricture is. What Sutton's claiming she has. I know what that is, and Anne Marie's acting like she's never heard of it.
Yeah,
like it's the most mysterious illness she's ever seen.
And Dr. Tiffany Moon from Real Housewives of Dallas, she's an anesthesiologist, and she was like, "This is a real thing. This is real, and I can't believe that she's being like, this is like, it's almost like medical bullying." Or she used a different term against Anne Marie, but she was like, "She's like, no, Sutton. If Sutton says that she has this, then Sutton has it because it is a real thing. Like, don't question her."
And Anne Marie wasn't even doing it like in a, I should school you on the knowledge. She was flippantly making fun of her.
Yeah.
Like this whole time she's been doing it like laughing at her, being like, you don't have this. That's stupid.
The thing with her and her things about gabapentin, you can't drink, you can't do this. It is true. I should say you shouldn't. I'm very familiar with it as a non-medical, as a pharmaceutical enthusiast, but it makes you drowsy. But other than that, it has so many purposes. I know people who have it for neuropathy, for anxiety, for honestly, for withdrawals from alcohol, when they're like, when they've been on a bender and it helps. I'm not a medical professional, but I mean, I know people from like with all kinds of conditions and walks of life who use it. And
people
drink on it. I'm not saying you should, but
that's what Sutton kept saying, like, well, my doctor says it's fine. And she kept saying, you know, my doctor says this, my doctor says that. And Anne Marie, and I love this, got to the point where Sutton just is like, okay, are you my doctor? Like, do you want my insurance card, saying this to Anne Marie, which I thought was hysterical. And then Anne Marie turned it around and said, you're being condescending to me. And I lost it just watching that. If I were in that room with Sutton, it would have been like a hold my hoop situation where they'd be holding me back. You're being, of all people, her saying to Sutton, you're being condescending.
Yeah.
She's the worst. She's the worst.
But I want to say, though, it would be amazing if something that came out of this season, because Housewives has kind of normalized things like Ozempic, and it's taught us all kinds of like plastic surgery tips and lifestyle tips and things like that. If the next trend in LA weight loss is having your esophagus tightened.
I mean, I'm sure they're already doing that in Turkey, you know.
Like esophageal rejuvenation is the next diet trend.
Oh, I'm gonna God, look into that it.
That sounds terrible.
I mean, for anybody who's ever gotten just food trapped in your throat, like that awful, like you're not choking, it's just stuck in your throat. Imagine that all the time. Ugh. Like that just sounds fucking awful. Though Erica did have the great line about it where she said, I said to just give a blowjob and that'll fix the esophagus issue right away. And then she followed it up with, clearly Sutton's not deep throating, therefore there are no second dates. And I'm like, oh, Erica. Oh, she's delightful. That's just delightful.
Yeah.
Man. Well, Anne Marie, we finally got Anne Marie's intro, basically, the welcome to Anne Marie profile. And, you know, with her husband and her kids and her long confessional time. And I was not impressed. Like when she starts going off about how when she met Marcus, there were all these other women going after him. And then basically at the end, she's like, I won. I was like, oh, excuse me. What is this? This is not a competition with other women. Like that immediately turned me off. And she's already said a couple of things that I was like, I don't think you like other women. Like, you feel like you're always in competition of other women. And that, like, proved my point right there. Mm-hmm. I was like, hello, because she was like, he immediately was focused on me. He told me he wanted to marry me right away. And I was like, well, that's a red flag right there. I'm sorry. Like, look, a few years ago and in fairy tale land, it's romantic to think of like a man, you meeting a man and him saying he wants to marry you right away. Now we kind of know a little bit better that that's a more of a controlling type of thing. Not saying that necessarily, but for me, that raises a red flag, not only from hearing other people's things, but my own personal experience. Second of all, though, when she was talking about how her husband, Marcellus, who has been accused in New York State under the Adult Survivors Act, which just expired, but he's been accused of sexual assault while he was in Columbia College. We talked about this, I think, a couple of episodes ago. But he, you know, she's talking about how he tells her all the time that she's an 8.5 in everything. An 8.5 in looks, an 8.5 in parenting, an 8.5. And I was just dumbfounded. And she was like wearing it with a badge of honor. But I was like, but she's not wearing it with a badge of honor. She's lying about this. She doesn't like it because, look, this is the thing. I don't necessarily like to be lied to.
He gave her a 9.5 on the body, though.
That's because true. That's all that matters to him. Let's get real here. Like, that's disgusting.
I was hoping I couldn't catch a glimpse of the ring, but I was kind of like, I was wondering if this is a theme in their marriage. And he gave her an 8.5 carat engagement ring and was like, that's because you're an 8.5 all the way.
Well, the worst thing was is the way she phrased it, the way Marcellus told her was that he didn't just say you're an 8.5. He flat out before said you're not a 10 in looks, like I think it was athletic ability and brains. You're an 8.5. Mm-hmm. Like, so he actually went out of his way to say you're not a 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he goes out of his way to remind her all the time that she's an 8.5. He didn't marry her for her cookie, which is fine. That's fine. But she's an 8.5 at that. And I was like, I want my husband to lie to me. When I ask him, like, how do I look? Like, I want him to say, baby, you're great. You're the greatest. Like, you're the best at doing this stuff. Now, if I need a nice criticism, I really need to know and be like, hey, am I sucking at this? Like, you need to tell me the truth. Definitely tell me the truth. But when it comes to stuff like that, like, I definitely want, these are the little white lies that we tell each other to the people that we tell the people that we love, that like, you're the best. Like, you're a 10. This is why I married you, because I love you, because you're the best at doing these certain things. You may not be great at this other thing, but I'm not going to rub it in your fucking face all the goddamn time, because that's him putting himself on this pedestal. But there's a cognitive dissonance that I was like seeing in her eyes between what she was like trying to project of like, I'm okay with this. Like, I am so real. I'm the cool girl. He tells me I'm an 8.5 and I know I'm an 8.5 and I'm fine with being an 8.5. He tells me this all the time. I'm fine with it. I really am fine with it. I work really hard on my body. I work really hard to be the perfect wife. I work really hard to be perfect at everything. And I'm still only an 8.5. Like, that's the energy I was getting from her. And I was just like, I feel for you, girl.
Well,
like,
you know, she's not even an 8.5 housewife.
God.
I'm sorry. I think this is going to be a one season. I think she's going to be one and done. She's friend of at this point. I mean, we're too late in the season.
They pushed her so far back. Yeah.
Yeah, they pushed her. And now we have to wonder why she was pushed so far to be called full time. So, well, she's really a friend of.
We spoke for several weeks. I was shocked they showed Marcellus at all. Like, you'd think that they would at least edit him out. Like, they could do her, they could show her with her kids without showing him, but they made a point of showing him.
Well, I mean, these allegations came out fairly recently.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, they came out about 2 months ago. Yeah, I mean, they could have, I guess, just cut that out. But yeah, no, you're right.
I don't think they had. They I mean, they
didn't
cut it.
Russell. Like, they didn't. They keep it in. I mean, if it's a headline, they'll generally keep it in. Mm-hmm. So that's honestly, that's probably more of what we know about the family now than we do from Housewives. So
this is true.
Not a great claim to fame, but I had never heard of Marcellus before this.
Yeah. It seems like her only role so far in the show is that she's just Kyle's henchman. Like, yes. That's all she like. And honestly, I don't have as much backstory as you guys because I've only started watching. But to me, this season, that's all Dorit is as well. They're just Kyle's hench people. Like, she just sicks them on them, you know, like guard dogs.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good strategy for Amory. I think she's coming in too strong and it's too transparent. But basically, think of it like being a new kid on the playground. She latched onto one of the most popular, one of the mm-hmm. most powerful. So she's trying to, because she doesn't really have an organic connection to these people. She's Kyle's neighbor a couple blocks down the same street, but she doesn't seem to have really met these women and stuff. So I think she's really diving in by trying to be Kyle's number two, trying to be Kyle's Teddy. She's kind of in that Teddy position where she's going after the women. She lives up the street. No one likes her. Sound familiar?
Teddy 2.0. We'll just call her, we'll call her Ted Marie.
Yeah. I am, though, I have to say, I am not so much the Amory part, like her calling Sutton out doesn't really carry much weight with her weird medical interpretations. But I have to say something, this Kyle and Sutton fight, even the fight over eating disorders, essentially. Sutton at least is earning her check this season. Mm-hmm. This is the first season she's been a true real house. Like, she's filling the void kind of Rinna left. She's like actually being the troublemaker and the like drama starter. She's fully engaged. Mm-hmm. I think that's the word for it. Activated. Is that what they say in the Bravo world?
Yeah. I think
she definitely has the best reaction shots. I love the Sutton reaction shots when somebody says, because they always use them for like the teasers too, for like pre-commercial. It's always that shock look she has. I don't know if she's doing it on purpose, but it's perfect.
Sometimes it's a little, put like on
cartoonish.
And no, also too, like when someone calls her out and she kind of plays dumb, she'll be like, Did your husband do something? And they'll be like, are you saying he cheated? She'll be like, I never said he cheated. Like, she gets this, like she's gasping for air and speaking slowly and stunned. I'm like, okay, Southern Belle, we get it.
Go away, Blanche DuBois.
She's playing dirty. It's very, yeah, it's very passive aggressive Southern Belle, but at least she's had to get her hands dirty this season. So I give her credit for getting her hands dirty. I do like to, I've been thinking about this since I watched it, and it's funny to me that these accusations of eating disorders being thrown about all over Beverly Hills, because I guess anything in the Housewives world, but in LA, Beverly Hills specifically, everyone's on something or doing something, like some programs in their circle. So it's like, it's not the show. Everyone has an issue. And I think that's why everyone's at each other's jugulars over it. Because it's like, oh, want to call out my eating disorder? I'll call out your eating disorder. You know, you have a drug problem. Well, you have a drink. I have a drug problem. You have a drinking problem. It's like everyone... It's like a standoff because everyone has the same skeletons in their closet.
I agree.
If I had to pick like the best allies to have on the show, like the people like an Anne Marie to have your back, I would. Sutton has evidently Garcelle and Crystal, which I would take them because they have just been hysterical when Dorit found out that about the drinking when Sutton was like. You know, who told you that Kyle and I were talking about, you know, your drinking? And she said, oh, Crystal told me. And then Dorit like runs over to Crystal, thinks she's going to corner her. And she's like, did you tell her? And Crystal's like, yeah, I did. and then they talked about getting the Dorit interrogation where she just kept asking her questions after questions. And Crystal just said, she's like, I'm bored. I love her. Nothing fazed her. She just like looks straight at her. I'm like, I'm bored.
Because also, Crystal has money. Crystal's rich too. Like, Crystal don't give a fuck. Yeah. She's like, bitch, I'm not lying about how much money I have. Like, I don't care. She's like, that's the thing. Like, Sutton and I actually have money, you know? And also, Carcelle's not going to bullshit me. So, like, they're three peas in a pod in that sense. Like, yeah.
That was another thing where Kyle said to Sutton, like, you accused my husband of cheating? And Sutton's like, no, I didn't. And basically said, no, that was Garcelle. And Kyle's like, Garcelle, was that you? And Garcelle's like, yeah, it was me. Yeah I did say that.
Yeah. And that's why I love Garcelle. Like, again, my Sagittarius sister, because that's the thing. Is like, if you're like, oh, Stacey, did you say that? I'll be like, yeah, I said that. Like, even if it's, I'll be like, yeah, I said that. If I didn't say it, I will say I did not say that. Like, but if I said it, I'll be like, yeah, I said it. Like, yeah. Like, let's not blame somebody else. I said that.
I would like to see with that. I would like to see Garcelle get a break and not have to carry the ball across the line for Sutton. There is a lot of, I feel like Garcelle carries a little bit of an unfair burden, kind of bolstering Sutton in these tense situations.
Well, that is the history of race in America, you know, of basically, you know, you know, white, like, but, black mean, yeah, women doing the hard work for all white people. So, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sutton does rely on her a lot on the show. You can see anytime it gets heated. And Garcelle actually said that an episode or two ago, where she said, I think I'm going to have to, like, let Sutton take care of some things on her own. Like, she can't hold her hand through these conflicts. But Sutton has improved. Give her that.
But I think that's also messier. Like, you do have to do, it's just like with children or like boyfriends and husbands. Like, you have to let them fail. You have to let them like fall down and do this stuff on their own in order for them to grow. Like, you can be a good friend. It's kind of that conundrum, though, I think that does happen, especially on Housewives, but in relationships in general. People think, if you're my friend, you have to be loyal 100%. You have to back it up. You have to be there for me. You have to do my dirty work, too. And that's not what being a friend is. Mm-hmm. Like, being a friend is like having somebody's back, but not doing their dirty work, or just even doing their work for them. Like, they have to do their work. Like, I'll be there for you. But like Garcelle saying, Garcelle standing up and not letting Sutton take the fall for that comment is being a friend, saying, no, I said that. Da-da-da. Mm-hmm. But then she didn't like take over the baton and was like, and da-da-da-da-da, and this is why I said it, and this, and you shouldn't be in on Sutton. No, she just let it go there. It was just like, no, I said that. This way I said it. Like, don't, you know, stop putting words in other people's mouth. And that's the thing, at least on Beverly Hills, that Kyle and Dorit do a lot. They misappropriate things that were said to the wrong person, to the person that they are mad at the time. Mm. And they'll do that when clear there's, you know, photo, there's evidence that it was like, no, this person said it. So, you know, there's on other shows, other people are culprits. So there's always a culprit. And like Beverly Hills isn't there's always a housewife or two who will always do that. So on every one.
I would gladly do Sutton's dirty work.
Oh my God, we need
it sounded,
we gotta slide in, we gotta get you to slide into her DMs or something like that.
Well, mostly it's because I want to be friends with Avi, to be honest. I want to get in that circle.
That episode, I kind of wanted an Avi spinoff, but the way that he was getting so neurotic with her this time, I was like, oh yeah, tell him to shut the fuck up at this moment. Like, he was a little too much. I was like, no.
When she was messing with the wreath and he was just losing it. And when he passed the other assistant passed them, like, when they were getting ready for the party, God. And he actually just told him, you don't need to wear sunglasses in here. You're not a celebrity. And then just kept walking. I'm like, he is my favorite kind of bitch. I love Avi. He is the best.
You know, when I was watching this, I kept thinking, and now I need to do a side-by-side. If it turns out well, maybe I'll put it online. He kind of reminds, I kept picturing him like like George Santos. Reminds me a little bit of George Santos.
Yeah, I can see that.
Now it's just clicked. Oh, by the way, did you see who else? One quick thing. Who is also at Sutton's party? From Orange County / the White House. Megan King Edmonds.
Yep.
Yeah.
She was in the background.
Even credit her, though. Mm-mm. They didn't credit her, though. They'll usually, if there's a fellow housewife from another city, they'd put Sutton's friend or Kyle's friend. Like when Cynthia was at the dinner party last week, Megan was just like left to eagle-eyed fans mm-hmm. to zoom in on and figure out.
Poor Megan.
One last thing with your favorite Kim. I did love that it was kind of adorable. It was cute when she met the artist and when she was introduced to the artist and she's like, "Oh, I'm an artist too." And the artist was like, "Oh, like interested, like, oh, really? What do you do?" And Kim's just like, "I draw on the wall. I just draw on the wall with markers," which is selling yourself short because those actually really are good. The ones that they keep showing pictures of, if those are the ones she's doing. But the fact that she just makes it sound like a child, like, "I draw on my wall with markers."
I just have a feeling, though, like, because I've enjoyed seeing them again. But like, if you went into her house, like, just isolated some of those pictures, if those murals, that artwork from her walls, if it was framed up, it'd be perfect. It'd be like, yeah, this is pretty good. But if you went into her house and you saw the drawings on the walls and maybe how it was set up, maybe she might look like a not sane person at the moment. Do you know what I mean? It might look kind of Grey Gardens-ish. Yeah. Like,
I was gonna say a little Grey Gardens
with a touch.
I hope they're not lost. She is having her home redone now, so I hope the artwork's not lost. Maybe they could cut out some and send it to the clubhouse or the Smithsonian.
That would be great.
Or
the Paley Center for Television.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know if those are lost to renovation, but. Yeah. Speaking of a masterpiece, a work of art from some classic housewives, I've been watching all weekend. I binged a bit the new Real Housewives Girls Trip New York Legacy, mm-hmm. Return to Scary Island.
Mm-hmm. Although really it's like Return to like Pirate Island, you know, because mm-hmm. they're going back to St. Bart's where both Luann and Sonia hooked up with the pirate and Aviva had a breakdown. And
yeah.
Same Sonia house. And Ramona White Trash. Yeah, exactly. Same house, which is great. I love that. I love that they did that. I watched the first episode. I need to watch the rest.
I like it. Okay. So I have some thoughts about this. Mm-hmm. I was saying this is just like production perspective or whatever. I like this format better. In Legacy, where it's women from one cast, one show, not one cast, one show. Mm-hmm. I'm not really that into these crossover girls trips. It feels kind of put on and a little competitive with, like, I don't know, like some fantasy, like Traitors or Bachelorette style. You know what I mean? It's less lifestyle. And mm-hmm. When it's just like, I got sucked back into this New York Legacy girls trip because it really was like the complete New York experience. You have the classic ones and they're referencing and doing like, they're even like, yeah, you know, they're doing flashbacks. It felt like you were back in the show, like a real mm-hmm. housewives show.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting because Kelly Ben Simone, she's very different from when she had been originally on the show, but then at the same time, very mm-hmm. the same. Because there'd be a moment where I was like, whoa, she really is like matured a bit and like things have changed, you know, and she opened up to Dorinda. And I thought that was very like real and poignant right there and was good and mm-hmm. explained a lot. But then she starts going off on Kristen Takeman about Kristen being a fan of the show, basically, and like knowing all this stuff. And I was like, oh, there's the old Kelly Ben Simone, like a little like, yeah. Because I got where Kristen's coming from. Kristen was only on for a few seasons, but I get Kristen in the fact of like memory wise, like I'm kind of that person. I was like, I remember that. I remember like, I'll just remember things that I don't even care about, but because I hear them mm-hmm. and I associate them with something like, so if she just knows about stuff, also I'm sure she gets people asking her about stuff all the time. Or I remember when you mm-hmm. did this. Kelly Ben Simone just doesn't give a fuck. She just being on Roni was Kelly like a blip for her. Was kind of
doing by Kelly calling out that Kristen is a fan. Essentially, she's referencing. She was basically doing the what she did to Bethany. Yeah. I'm here. Mm-hmm. You're here.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, mm-hmm. I'm above the show. You're a fan beneath the show. And so that was kind of bitchy, but
it was bitchy because they were on for the same length of time, I believe.
Yeah, you know? You're right. Two seasons, right?
Yep, two seasons each. So it's not like one is any, like the only thing that Kelly has is that Scary Island is iconic. But kind of for all the wrong reasons for Kelly. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Then we have two, Dorinda on there.
Oh, man.
Dorinda hasn't changed. Dorinda, they went right back into it with On Pause. On Pause versus Fired. And she really can't let that go.
She can't. She can't. She cannot.
Yeah. I have a theory about that. I've been thinking about it because for some reason she can take a lot. She seems to be a tough person, and it's the weirdest little things that trigger her, like that On Pause versus saying Fired.
It's that meme of her from I think the Cartagena like trip or something like that, where she was like, I get sensitive. I do. And it's like, yes, you do, girlfriend. Oh my God. She's a Sagittarius too, but God damn it, she's a fucking moody Sagittarius if I've ever seen one.
She's a little bit of a gremlin. I'm sorry. When she gets upset, I don't know how else to describe it.
When you get her wet, it's after midnight, she enters into a gremlin.
It's really just like, and you know, the type, she's like, I don't care. I don't care. Obvious. She's one of those people who's like, I don't care, which means she's obsessed and she's angry. But I was trying to process like through trying to get in her head and what could be so sensitive. Cause she is, I imagine, very comfortable. She's one of the ones who doesn't necessarily need the money. So like for her to be so sensitive about her status with the network. But I was thinking about this, and it's kind of sad, I don't know, or sentimental. But she came on kind of like a grieving widow. Mm-hmm. And maybe this was her new life. Remember, Richard died kind of suddenly, like it was over the very quickly, and she watched him die, and they had the perfect life. And I wonder if Housewives gave her a new lease on life, and then by saying Fired once again, it was take her happiness or her purpose was taken away.
I can see that. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Totally.
I really like to just think they're all awful, but I did start getting a little soft there. And I was like, maybe this is why there's like a pain inside her about this.
There's definitely a pain inside her about it. Also, and she's spoken about this before with Richard, she had a certain status with Richard. And because of like his positions professionally. And so she had status with Richard and certain status. And that kind of goes away when he dies. It would go away if they got divorced. Mm-hmm. And so she loses that. And the status as a housewife is very different type of status, but still it's a bit of a status. And I think she is somebody who is concerned with status, not in the way that like Luann used to be and like some other people are concerned with status. She's not overtly concerned with status, I would say. She's not somebody who verbalizes that, at least not publicly. But I think it is something that matters to her in her heart. And so to be fired from Housewives hurt her ego because it hurt the status that she had built up, this like public status too.
And being on pause makes her, she can kind of loosely say she's still a housewife. She wasn't fired. She's not an ex-housewife. In her mind, she thinks it gives her the right to say, I know, like you said, it's not much of a status or a title, but it is something in that world. Are you current? Are you ex? Were you a friend of? Were you just a friend of? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and so for her, especially, she had been a fan favorite for a while. I mean, she came in like like Miley Cyrus said, a wrecking ball. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she really became a star and has that OG energy because she knew them for so long.
She does. I mean, yeah, you get that feeling. You'd get that feeling about her. But she also, I just lost my thought. It'll come back to me. It'll come back to me at an inopportune time when we're talking about something else, probably during pop culture. But that's the life. Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. I do like, okay, this is funny because now we know, again, like you guys were talking about with Anne Marie and her husband's allegations, but it's like the show is already wrapped and stuff. It's funny if we didn't know that Ramona had been fired for what horrible things she said right before this came out. Just watching it, you could tell she tried working on her on-camera manners. Mm-hmm. I noticed how much more polite she was to staff there. Did you catch that? She was like, could you please bring us some more wine? Thank you so much. I mm-hmm. appreciate it. And you could tell she was like a little kid who had just learned manners. And like, and she was being a little softer with the staff. She was even pretending not to care too much about what room she got. She gave it an effort. It failed.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. Especially when as soon as she and Sonia got that master bedroom again, you know. Yeah. But of course, then she was complaining about how in the closet the bar wasn't up high enough, so all of her stuff was dragging on the floor. I remember the concierge was like, "I'll have a talk with the architect tonight." Just because she was like, somebody really needs to like change this, and he was like, I'll have a talk with the architect. It's like, I just love hearing the staff talk in French and then having the subtitles of like what all they're saying, and I was like, yeah. only Luann will know what they're saying. He's like,
she's kind of been the host of this tour. You know, Luann's like probably like one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And I do like, that's why I like this one, because it isn't some weird crossover mashup where they're all out of their element. They're bringing us back to New York. You know, it feels like we just tune into a new season. And so I do like this. I don't know if they could do it for every show. I don't know. Like, New York's in the unique position of having been recast, rebooted, so they can do a legacy one. But I mean, if you did one with like Beverly Hills, what are you going to get? Like a Carlton, Yolanda, and Joy. I mean, it's not the same.
Yeah.
This one was like it's hard to replicate this, but I think they did a really good, mm-hmm. I think this was a smart move.
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually watching and I don't like to.
And this one is happening instead normally. Of Morocco, because it looks like Morocco is getting scrapped. 100%. Right. I mean, it looks like that. So
that's what has been circulating this weekend. And we know everyone, I'm sure, has seen Brandy has had a lot to say on Twitter about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't follow Brandy, but she showed up on my For You timeline quite a bit. And because the whole thing with the For You timeline, nothing's in order. So I've seen her like rants, her spiraling rants, but they're not in order of any kind. Mm. So I just read them. I'm like, oh, I guess this is about that show. I have no idea what this is about.
So yeah, the rumor is that, or what's being put out there is that, you know, they're canning the Morocco trip, which was because it's just like, it's been so long, you know, New York, it was filmed before the currently airing New York Legacy. And they put that aside because of the Brandy Caroline kind of legal gray area, whatever, conflict, and aired this. And as time goes on, it's becoming apparent they're probably just going to bury that season, so we'll never see it.
Does anybody know how far into the season when that happened? Like, were they almost done, or was it?
Yeah, they were almost done. It was when that happened, they only had a day or two left on the trip. So they wrapped filming. They didn't stop filming the show. They sent Brandy to, they asked Brandy to move to different accommodations. and arrangements were made for filming, but they didn't cut the season. They completely finished it normally. Everyone flew home, and then everything started leaking, and it became very murky, and now it's kind of like, I don't know if Bravo knows what to do legally. I mean, their legal department is probably what's like,
well, I'm sure if Bravo had their way, they'd air it because of all people would watch the hell out of it.
Yeah, people want it. See, I don't think it's Bravo like saying, "Oh, this is too distasteful to air." We've seen what they've aired before. I think it's like a bunch of legal issues, and I don't know what Caroline. I think she has an attorney. It's kind of like maybe corporate and like the practical business minds are like, we don't want to touch this. So, yeah. Fun fact, by the way, as a tie-in between Legacy and Morocco, I was watching it when they were showing Kristen's house back here, because she moved, you know, they kept saying she moved to LA. She moved to Calabasas, mm-hmm. and literal neighbors like down the street with Brandy and Kristen are like BFFs, like real life. They hang out and they literally live like houses from each other,
man.
So that was kind of, oh, and they, yeah, so
I can't believe that Kristen's still married to her husband after the whole Ashley Madison mm-hmm. like affair, literally. Like it turns out he was on that website. Oh my gosh. But I mean,
I think the argument I've heard, and she kind of said it too on this one, she doesn't think he really cheated. He thinks he was on there browsing. I don't mean that innocent. Like, I don't mean like, oh, this wholesome curiosity. When that all fell apart, Ashley Madison, it turned out almost everyone was a guy on there.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
So what she means is she doesn't think he actually closed the deal. You know, his intentions weren't great, but she doesn't think he actually found a hookup. And she's standing by it. I mean, she said on this show, it's not like he actually cheated.
Look, whatever they decided to do with their marriage is their thing, you know? And obviously it's still working because that happened like, what, 10 years ago or so? So, you mm-hmm. know, they're still together. Their kids are, like, teenagers now. So, it's working out. I just, when I saw that, because I hadn't done my research beforehand to see if they were still together. And I was like, oh, they're still mm-hmm. together. She, okay. All right. You know, like, she got lucky. It was not another Don Gelvelson, David Bedore. You know, we could go down the list of all these, like, horrible marriages type of things that have happened. So, there we go. You know, good for her.
Speaking of their successful marriage, if you guys would like to renew your vows to us each and every week, make sure to subscribe to PCP so you get all the new episodes right when they drop. Also, rate, review, and share with your friends, family, enemies, mistresses, concierges, whoever it might be. Of course, head on over to social media, Instagram and TikTok at Pretty Corrupt Podcast and Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. And of course, from there, you can follow all our personal accounts and all our very different colorful paths in life. So on that note, don't forget, this is the Bravo Breakdown, and there is also PCP Pop Culture. So depending on what you listen to first, see you next episode. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.